أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على خير المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. So coming back, we're interrupted in the last class because the internet went down halfway through. So I'm not quite sure exactly where we finished in the last class. So we'll pick up from a little bit earlier. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله. So I think we were talking about the Eid prayer last time. So we'll start from the beginning of the Eid prayer and the section relating to Eid. And one of the important things to realize is the way that he structured this. He started by talking about the fara'id prayers. Then he talked about the individual nafila prayers and sunnah prayers that are connected to those fard prayers, such as the witr, which is connected to the isha, the fajr raghiba, which is connected to salat al-subh. Then he talked about the sunnah ways in which you pray the fard prayers, whether that's traveling or whether that's in the period when you're fighting in a battle and there is khawf, there is fear, and the Muslims are not safe, you have to pray the prayer in a particular way, which is a sunnah. And then after this, he moves into another type of prayer, which is the sunnah group prayers. The group prayers that are done that are sunnah. And the most emphasized of all of these prayers is the Eid prayer, of which there are two Eid prayers. They are sunnah mu'akkada, emphasized sunnah. So I'm just going to go through this quickly. I might have already gone through it in the previous class. I don't know when it cut off. So we'll continue, inshallah. Bab fi salat al-Eidain wa takbir ayyam Mina. So chapter about the two Eid prayers and the takbirs on the day of Mina. He starts by saying, kayfiyat as-salah, how is the prayer done? As-salat fi al-Eidain sunnah mu'akkada. The Eid prayer, salat al-Eidain, is a sunnah mu'akkada, a sunnah wajiba. يخرج لها الإمام والناس ضحوة بقدر ما إذا وصل حانت الصلاة. The Imam, who is leading this prayer, and all of the people who are going to pray, because this is emphasized on everybody. Salat al-Jumu'ah is only emphasized on one category of person, which is male, free, Muslim residents. That's it. It's a sunnah for them, and it's recommended for other people. The Eid is a sunnah for a larger group of people, including travelers, including slaves. Women are encouraged to come. Children are encouraged to come. Everybody for the Eid prayer. You leave your house when you have enough time to get there that the prayer won't have started by before you arrive, basically. So he says dahwatan, which means after sunrise. You leave your house and you make sure you get there before the prayer has started or just in time for the prayer to start. Hanat salah. وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا أَذَانٌ وَلَا إِقَامَةٌ. There is no adhan, because it's not a fard prayer. There is no iqama, because it's not a fard prayer. But you can still have somebody announce the prayer so that people know the prayer is about to start. So you might say, you know, al-jama'ah, or you might say, you know, salat al-eid, or some such thing. But we don't have the exact iqama and adhan, because that is specific to fard prayers. فَيُصَلِّي بِهِمْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. The Imam prays two rak'ats. يَقْرُؤُ فِيهِمَا جَهْرًا بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ وَسَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَنَهْوِهِمَا. He does two rak'ats. So the Eid prayer is two rak'ats in which the Imam recites out loud. So unlike most daytime prayers or all daytime prayers, the Eid prayer is done out loud. And he says the Imam should recite the Fatiha in each rak'at and should recite surahs of the sort of Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la and Washamsi Wa Duhaha. In other words, these were some that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reported as reciting, but there is an indication in it that you don't do long surahs. You do short surahs because you have everybody there, the weak and the old, the strong and the young, every single person of every type. Some people can cope with standing all night in prayer, having Baqara in the first rakat and Ali Imran in the second. But most people cannot. So you look to the lowest person and what they're capable of. That's a principle generally in prayer. And you pray with that sort of length. We know in the Eid prayer that everybody's going to be there, so it's shorter surahs. ويكبر في الأولى سبعا قبل القراءة يعد فيها تكبيرة الإحرام. The first rakat you do seven takbirs, including the تكبيرة الإحرام, before you recite your recitation. وفي الثانية خمس تكبيرات لا يعد فيها تكبيرة القيام. And then the second five, not including the takbir you do for standing up. So if you're behind the imam, the ones you repeat are those five and the seven, because firstly, you do the takbirat al-ihram out loud anyway, and then you do all of the other six in the first rakat, and then you do the five in the second rakat. But the one of standing, you don't repeat after the imam in the second rakat. وَفِي كُلِّ رَكْعَةٍ سَجْدَتَانِ ثُمَّ يَتَشَهَّدْ وَيُسَلِّمْ. Every rakat has two sajdas. Obviously, this is the normal prayer. In every rakat, there's two sajdas. But he mentions this because there are other sunnah prayers that he's going to mention that are a bit different. They have two ruku'as, one of them, in each rakat. And then you have the salat al-janazah that doesn't have any sajdas. So basically, he wants to emphasize this is just a normal prayer in terms of its form, just like the Jummah prayer. ثم يتشاهد ويسلم. Then he does the تشاهد and says Assalamu alaikum. One important thing I'd just like to add here, which I mentioned yesterday or the last time we had this class, if you arrive late and the imam has already finished all of the takbirs and you say you find him reciting Sabbih Isma or some surah, or he's reciting the Fatiha, you join and you do all seven the moment you join. Yeah? If you find that he has not yet left ruku', you still join with the full seven. If that rakat, it cannot be caught, the first rakat, then you just join with the takbir al-ihram once. And then you follow the imam in the second with the five. And then when you stand up, you do six. Because you've already done, you're not doing the takbir al-ihram again. So the main number of takbirs is six. Just as an important note to be aware of. And you do the Eid prayer at home if you can't make it to the mosque. And you do exactly the same format, seven and five. Exactly the same. But the jama'ah can only be done in the morning of the days of Eid. And the Eid prayer itself can only be done in that time. This is the thing with all of these sunnah prayers. Their time is the morning. They don't steal any of the time from the fara'id prayers. So as soon as dhuhr starts, that's the time of dhuhr and asr. Then Maghrib, that's the time of Maghrib, and then Isha. Then when Fajr starts, up until sunrise, that's the time of Fajr. So none of these groups in the prayers can take those times for themselves. They can only take the time that is, that there are no Fard prayers obligatory in it. That's the morning. So that's why they're all prayed in the morning. Then the imam gets up onto the minbar and does the khutbah. This is an indication that even in the musalla, because it says he went out. So another indication from that is we don't pray the Eid prayer, generally speaking, in the mosque. Why? Why don't we pray the Eid prayer in the mosque? Space, exactly. The Eid prayer is for everybody to get together. It is best if you have one area, even a huge city, to try and only have one place for the Eid. It's one of the sha'air of Islam. You see the strength of the Muslims by the amount of people praying in their Eids. You don't have everybody praying in their own individual mosque, the Eid prayers. It's not like, even with Jummah for us, by the way, it's better in the Maliki school that there's only one Jummah in an urban environment, unless it's not possible because of space, in which case then you can have a second mosque. But the best thing to do is to keep on expanding the first mosque more and more and more and more, because these are things of jama'ah, of bringing the Muslims together. We don't want to have this situation where we're all separated into lots, and especially in one city or even in one street. We have you might have two people doing different musallas in one street. And then he does the khutbah. He goes up on the minbar. So there is a minbar in the musalla, just like the minbar in the mosque. They also, used to have in the place. It used to be out in the desert, a big wide open area. They would build a little place where there was the minbar for the imam. So the imam wouldn't, you would know where the imam was going, and he would go up on the minbar. The reason he stresses this is because there's another prayer that's prayed in the musalla outside, which is called the istisqa prayer, which he's going to come to in a minute, which is the rain prayer. And that there is no minbar for the imam. He stands directly on the ground. So that he differentiates. That's why he mentions the minbar here. وَيَخْتُبْ, he gives the khutbah. يَجْلِسُ فِي أَوَّلِ خُطْبَتِهِ وَوَسَطِهَا, he sits down at the beginning of the khutbah and then sits down in the middle of the khutbah. So in effect, it's two khutbahs. Why does he sit down at the beginning? He's done the prayer. People are just finishing their prayer. He's got onto the minbar. He sits down to get people, so people can get ready first. Not just to rush everything really, really quickly for everybody. So he stops, lets people settle in their places, and then he gets up to deliver the khutbah. ثُمَّ يَنْصَرِفْ, then when he finishes the khutbah, he leaves. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ مِنْ طَرِيقٍ غَيْرِ الطَّرِيقِ الَّتِي أَتَى مِنْهَا, and it is recommended that he goes back home following a different path than the path that he took coming. And as I mentioned last time, this is because of two things, according to the ulama. One, that it was part of the practice of the people that they would give sadaqah when they were going to and coming from the Eid. And this gives them opportunity to give sadaqah to more people in different places. Secondly, more of Allah's creation is able to bear witness to them traveling to and from the Eid. These are the main reasons why that's recommended. Also, that was the practice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالنَّاسُ كَذَلِكَ, and the people do the same. إِنْ كَانَ فِي الْأَضْحَى خَرَجَ بِأُضْحِيَتِهِ إِلَى الْمُصَلَّى, if it is the Eid of Adha, there's two Eids. There's the Eid al-Fitr, which is about to come, which is the one at the end of Ramadan. Then there's the Eid al-Adha, which is the sacrifice Eid, which comes on the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah, while the people are on the Hajj. And in this particular one, it is part of the sunnah of the day, like the sunnah of the other Eid is the Zakat al-Fitr. The sunnah of that Eid is an udhiyah, is a sacrificial animal, to sacrifice a sacrificial animal. This is what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, sacrificing one or two rams, usually rams, that are about the one year old, a minimum 1 year old, but they're still quite young. The imam should, if you're living in a place, can you please close that door? The imam should bring the sacrificial animal with him and then sacrifice it straight after completing the khutbah in front of the people where they can see him doing it, so that the people know that it is now halal for them and accepted for them to do their own sacrifice. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you do the sacrifice before the imam, then it's just sadaqah that you are giving, basically. It's not part of the practice of the Eid at all. So he says, فَذَبَحَهَا أَوْ نَحَرَهَا, he sacrifices it by cutting the throat of the animal or by stabbing through this area, the nahar, which is how they used to sacrifice camels, because it was a much surer way of killing the animal immediately than cutting the neck for camels. لِيَعْلَمَ ذَلِكَ النَّاسُ, so that people know that it's been done, فَيَذْبَحُونَ بَعْدَ, and they do their sacrifice after him. وَلْيَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي خُرُوجِهِ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ فِي الْفِطْرِ وَالْأَضْحَى جَهْرًا, and he should, this is the imam, do the takbirs, he should do the dhikr of Allah, the takbirs that we do, the moment he leaves his house on the day of Fitr and the moment he leaves his house on the day of Adha. So not while he's in his house getting ready to leave, but the moment he steps out, he should start doing the takbirs while he's walking towards, because he's not going about any other business. When he leaves his house, he's going straight to the musalla. Jahran, out loud. I mean, obviously not quite so easy today, but still you can do it, you know. If you get a lot of you, wander through the streets of Norwich doing the takbir out loud on your way to the Eid. Hatta yati al-musalla, al-imamu wal-nasu kadhalik. So the imam does this and the people as well, and they keep on doing it until they reach the prayer area, the musalla. So this is not just the imam, everybody does it. فإذا دخل الإمام للصلاة قطعوا ذلك. The moment the imam comes into the musalla and comes to the place where he's going to be leading the prayer at the front, they stop that takbirs. I mean, obviously, sometimes we continue until the place where you stop, but that's the moment to indicate that you stop. وَيُكَبِّرُونَ بِتَكْبِيرِ الْإِمَامِ فِي خُطْبَتِهِ. And they also, everybody who is praying this prayer, because one of the differences between the khutbah of the Eid and the khutbah of Jumu'ah is in the refrain, the main thing that you say. Like in the khutbah of Jumu'ah, the main thing that you are emphasizing is hamd, is praise. In the khutbah of istisqa, the main thing you are emphasizing is istighfar, asking the forgiveness of Allah. In the khutbah of the Eid, the main thing you are emphasizing is declaring the greatness of Allah, takbir. So every time the imam does this, you who are sitting in the Eid prayer, say Allahu Akbar with him. Out loud. Yeah? Generally speaking, the rule in a khutbah is you listen. But this is an exception. This is a place where you can participate as well as listening. So he says here, وَيُنْسِتُونَ لَهُ فِي مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. And they listen to everything else that he has to say besides that. فَإِنْ كَانَتْ أَيَّامُ النَّحْرِ فَلْيُكَبِّرُ النَّاسَ دُبُرُ الصَّلَوَاتِ. If it is the days of sacrifice, which starts with the Eid of Adha, the 10th, then the people should do the takbirs after the obligatory prayers. There's specific takbirs that he'll mention the form of them in a bit. مِنْ صَلَاتِ الظُّهْرِ مِنْ يَوْمِ النَّحْرِ إِلَىٰ صَلَاتِ الصُّبْحِ مِنَ الْيَوْمِ الرَّابِعِ مِنْهُ. So he says here, you start on the Dhuhr prayer on the day of Eid, so you do the Eid prayer. Then the next prayer you do after the Eid prayer is going to be the Dhuhr prayer. After that prayer, you do takbirs. And then you do it for 15 more, 15 prayers, including that one. So 14 more prayers. And you finish on the subh of the fourth day after the Eid, which is the last of the days of Mina. So you have, when you're on Hajj, you have the main day when you do the first stoning, and then you go and do the Tawaf al-Ifada. Then you come back to Mina, and you have 2 or 3 days in Mina where you continue to do the stoning. They're called the days of Mina. So the day of Hajj is not, the day of Eid is not one of the days of Mina. And then the 3 days after that are called the days of Mina. So he says here, you continue until the last of those days of Mina. And after Subh, that's the last one. So that's 15 prayers in all. وَهُوَ آخِرُ أَيَّامِ مِنَا. They are, that is the last of the days of Mina. يُكَبِّرُ إِذَا صَلَّ الصُّبْحِ ثُمَّ يَقْطَعْ. You do that, you do your takbir after that subh, and then you stop doing it from there. وَالتَّكْبِيرُ دُبْرُ الصَّلَوَاتِ. The form of this takbir that you do after these prayers is, as he mentions a couple of potential options, he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, just like that, just Allahu Akbar. So he mentions three. وَإِنْ جَمَعَ مَعْ تَكْبِيرُ تَحْلِيلًا وَتَحْمِيدًا فَحَسَنًا. And if you, alongside this Allahu Akbar, also add La ilaha illallah, and also add Alhamdulillah, it's great, he says. So he says here, يَقُولُ إِنْ شَاءَ, you can say if you want, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. And وَقَدْ رُوِيَ عَنْ مَالِكْ هَذَا وَالْأَوَّلِ. He said both the first was reported from Malik, and this latter one was reported from Malik. Well, kullu wasi', and it's all good. Everything is it's wide. You can choose what you want to do, so long as you are doing the takbir after these 15 prayers, and by dubur it means immediately after. So you don't finish the prayer, then you start doing your 33, 33, 33. You do your ayat al-kursi. No, no. The first thing you do is the takbirs. Then you do your dhikrs after the prayer. You don't do them before. If you forget, you can still do it so long as you're still basically within a short period. You're not far removed from that prayer. So you're still sitting down. If you've done the salawat on the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the end, then you realize, oh, we didn't do the takbirs, and you do them. وَالْأَيَّامُ الْمَعْلُومَاتِ. So now he's mentioning in the Quran, it mentions two terms in different surahs. In Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتِ. فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. And in سورة الحج says وأذن في الناس بالحج ياتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق يشهد منافع لهم ويذكر اسم الله في أيام معلومات. So it mentions أيام معلومات and أيام معدودات. What are these days? The first one means counted days and the second one means known days. Those two terms, he just thought it'd be interesting to let people know. So he says, أيام معلومات are the days of sacrifice, the first 3 days, including the day of Eid and the 2 days afterwards. So the 3 days of Eid. And he says here, and أيام معدودات are أيام منى, are the days of Mina, which don't include the day of Eid, but the 3 days after it, where you can stay for two or continue on for three. And he says, وَهِيَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ, and they are the 3 days after the day. استعداد للصلاة. He says, وَالْغُسْلُ لِلْعِيدَيْنِ حَسَنٍ. So there are a number of reasons why a person does ghusl. Obviously, if you are in a state of impurity, major impurity, through sexual intercourse or through having a menstrual period, if you're a woman, then you have to have a ghusl in order to become pure. Then it is sunnah, a strong sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to a ghusl for Jumu'ah. And we're going to come, I think we did that, dealt with that last time. And then also, when it comes to the Eids, it is recommended, a strong recommendation for people to do, everybody. Those who are going to the Eid prayer and those who are not, on the day of Eid, it is recommended for you to do a ghusl, everybody. وَلَيْسَ بِلَازِمٍ, but it is not obligatory. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ فِيهِمَا الطِّيبُ وَالْحُسْنُ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ, and it is recommended on the day of Eid to wear perfume, to make yourself smell good. You're basically declaring and showing off the good things that Allah has given you. And the husn al-thiyab, the best of your clothes. Now, the difference here is you're also recommended on Jummah to wear your best of clothes and put on perfume. But with the Eid, you're recommended to put on something new if you can, because it's only once a year. Whereas to have to bring something new every week for Jummah is not, is israf in a sense. Also, another thing. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ الْأَكْلُ قَبْلَ غُدُوِّ يَوْمِ الْفِطْرِ, it is recommended for this Eid that's coming up, the Eid that's after Ramadan, the Eid al-Fitr, that before you leave to go to the mosque, you're leaving after sunrise, remember, before you leave to go to the mosque, that you break your fast. In the same way that you break your fast in Ramadan with dates and water, because this was the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the way he did it. Whereas the other Eid, it's recommended you come to the Eid fasting, the Eid al-Adha. You not have eaten anything before coming. So Salat al-Khusuf now. There's a couple more we're going to go through here quickly, inshallah. Wa Salat al-Khusuf sunnah wajiba. The Khusuf prayer is a sunnah wajiba, an emphasized obligatory sunnah. Now, this word Khusuf is a word that means eclipse. It means when the light of the sun or the light of the moon disappears by being covered over by shadow, whoever it is, but you can no longer see the moon, all of its light stops. And the word khusuf is used for both the sun and the moon. The only one that is a sunnah wajiba, an emphasized sunnah, is the solar eclipse prayer. The lunar eclipse prayer for the moon is simply recommended. The lunar eclipse prayer, again, is only prayed on your own. It's not prayed in Jama'ah. The one that's prayed in Jama'ah is the solar eclipse prayer. And unlike all of the other Jama'ah sunnah prayers, it is done silently. It's also called kusuf. So if you're looking in books of fiqh, it's called khusuf and kusuf. Generally speaking, you'll find in the modern books, they use kusuf to refer to the solar eclipse and khusuf to refer to the lunar eclipse. But in classical texts, you'll find khusuf referring to both. إِذَا خَسَفَتِ الشَّمْسُ أو إِذَا خُسِفَتِ الشَّمْسُ خَرَجَ الْإِمَامُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, when the shadow starts coming across, when the solar eclipse begins, then the imam comes out to the mosque. So unlike the other ones, this is not prayed in the musalla, it's prayed in the mosque. فَافْتَتَحَ الصَّلَاةُ بِالنَّاسِ بِغَيْرِ أَذَانٍ وَلَا إِقَامَةٍ, and he starts to lead the prayer with the people with no adhan and no iqama, because it's again, it's a sunnah prayer, not a kafara prayer. But again, it can be announced. We're doing the khusuf prayer, so people know. Because otherwise, people might not know. By the way, again, it's a sunnah prayer. So the time of the khusuf prayer, the solar eclipse prayer, is only the morning. Only the morning. So if the solar eclipse happens in the afternoon, there is no solar eclipse prayer. It's only when it's in the morning that this prayer is emphasized. If it happens in the afternoon, you would just pray an ordinary prayer, not this particular form, and you would probably do it on your own, just like with the lunar eclipse. Yes, because the time of the sunnah prayers is only the morning, the group sunnah prayers. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ قِرَاءَةً طَوِيلَةً. So the other thing about the solar eclipses tend to last quite a long time, especially the full solar eclipse. From the moment they start until the moment the shadow has completely left the sun. And for that reason, it was emphasized to do extremely long recitations in this prayer. But again, that's only to try and ensure that you're praying for the duration of it. If you do shorter prayers, it's fine. It doesn't invalidate it. I mean, in fact, there are mentions made of them doing it shorter than this. But the ideal, if you have a complete solar eclipse, is, as he mentions here, you do a long recitation in the first rak'at, sirran, silently, bi nahwi Surat al-Baqarah, with a surah of the length of Surat al-Baqarah. In other words, it doesn't necessarily have to be Surat al-Baqarah, but if your recitation should be the length that it might take you to complete Surat al-Baqarah. That's quite long. Thumma yarka'u ruku'an tawilan nahwi dhalik. Then you go into ruku' and spend a similar length of time to how you were standing in ruku', but slightly shorter. So this is quite long so far. He says here, thumma yarfa'u ra'sahu. Then you come out of ruku' standing, yaqulu sami Allahu liman hamida, saying sami Allahu liman hamida, thumma yaqra. Then you recite again. So you were standing, you did Baqarah or something like Baqarah, then you went into ruku' for that same length of time, then you stand again, and then again you start reciting. And he says duna qira'atihi al-ula, they say like Ali Imran, a bit less than the recitation you did in the first rakat. Something a little bit less. He says here, thumma yarka. Then you go into ruku' again. So this is the solar eclipse prayer. Stand, ruku'. Stand, ruku'. And again, in ruku', you spend a similar length of time to that you were just reciting. He says here, then you come out, yarfa'u ra'sahu, yaqulu sami Allahu liman hamida. You come out of ruku' again, saying sami Allahu liman hamida. Then you just spend the normal length of time then. Then thumma yasjudu sajdatayni tammatayn. Then you go down and do two full sajdas. And how long you spend in those sajdas is a matter of difference of opinion. Some people say you should also spend a long, long time in the sajdas. Other people say you just do the sajdas normally. Then, once you've done that, thumma yaqumu fayaqra duna qira'atihi allati tali dhalik. Then you stand up for the second rakat and you do a recitation that was a bit less than the last recitation that you did. In other words, the recitation that you did in the second standing of the first rakat. Thumma yarqa nahwa qira'atihi. Then you go back into ruku' for a similar length of time to that recitation. Thumma yarfa kama dhakarna. Then you go out in the same way that we mentioned before, saying sami Allahu liman hamida. Thumma yaqra. Then you recite duna qira'atihi hadhihi, a little bit shorter than the previous recitation. Thumma yarka nahwa dhalik. Then you go back into ruku' for a similar length of time. Thumma yarfa ra'sahu kama dhakarna. Then you come out and follow the same procedure that we mentioned before, simply saying sami Allahu liman hamida. Thumma yasjudu kama dhakarna. Then you do the sajdas as we said before, doing the two full sajdas. Thumma yatashahhad wa yusallim. Then you do the tashahhud and the salamu
alaikum.
As I said, the point of this was to basically fill the time when the eclipse was happening. And if you weren't sure if it had finished or not, then because the as they say about the eclipses, that there are two of Allah's signs. They don't happen for the life or the death of anybody. And when you see them, fadhkurullah, remember Allah, or when you see them, do the prayer. So basically, this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are something that people used to find terrifying. You don't know if the light's coming back. When your source of light is the sun, your source of livelihood comes from the sun, and then the sun's light goes away. Is this at the end of time now? Or are we still? Yeah, so I mean, you know, this was quite a terrifying thing. So one of the, instead of sort of occupying yourselves or making up all these stories in your head about it, you take refuge in the prayer and you turn to the one who created it, who created the sun and the moon and created the light and the lack of light. So it might last a long time. But as I said, they would not necessarily have done it for that length of time. They were just simply trying to do it for the length of time that the eclipse was happening. But the prayer, the important thing is the structure of this prayer, is that it has two rukus in each rakat. It's two rakats, and the ruku, you spend a long time in the ruku, basically similar to the recitation. That's the main thing to get from this.
What do you recite?
The same Quran. You always write. Sorry, it's all Quran. You don't recite in the ruku. No, in the ruku you don't recite Quran. No, in the ruku you would do that tasbih. You would say Subhanallah, and you wouldn't necessarily do dua either in ruku. But yeah, you do a lot of tasbih. Your basic tasbih is declaring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be separate from anything and the power to all be His. Basically, you're mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and you're reflecting on that in ruku. وَلِمَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُصَلِّي فِي بَيْتِهِ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَفْعَلْ. If somebody wants to pray this prayer in the same way at home, he's free to do that. Doesn't have to go to the mosque, but the imam should go to the mosque and do it so that people can come and join him there. But maybe people prefer to stay at home. They don't want to go out into this sun that's disappeared and walk all the way to the mosque. If the eclipse clears before you have completed a rakat, then you just pray the prayer as a normal prayer. You don't do the extra rukus. وَلَيْسَ فِي صَلَاتِ خُسُوفِ الْقَمَرِ جَمَعًا. As for the lunar eclipse, which is when the moon starts to disappear in the night, there is no jama'ah prayer for this. وَلْيُصَلِّ النَّاسُ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ أَفْتَادًا. And people should pray this prayer on their own, wherever they are. They don't come together to pray it. وَالْقِرَاتُ فِيهَا جَهْرًا. And you recite out loud in it, كَسَائِرِ رُقُوعِ النَّوَافِلَ. Just like you do with every other non-obligatory night prayer. So basically, the rule with nafila prayers, non-obligatory prayers, is that you recite them silently when they are daytime prayers, and you recite them out loud when they are nighttime nafila prayers, except when they're done in a group. When they're done in a group, usually they're done out loud, except for this prayer. وَلَيْسَ فِي إِثْرِ صَلَاتِ خُسُوفِ الشَّمْسِ خُطْبَةً مُرَتَّبَةً. There is no khutbah that is specific official khutbah, like in exactly the same form where somebody sits on a mimbar and does one khutbah, then sits down, then does another khutbah. No, that doesn't happen for the khusuf prayer, but it is recommended for the imam to say some things about the deen, remind people about Allah and the power of Allah and things of that nature. Because this is one of Allah's signs. When any sign of Allah comes, it's good for us to take notice of it and use that as an opportunity to remember Allah and get closer to Him. Something that should be known, though, we did say that it's because it's one of the signs of Allah that you do this prayer. From this, it doesn't follow that other signs of Allah have prayers. If there's an earthquake or a volcano or a tsunami or something like this, which is one of Allah's signs, we don't do a prayer in the same way. This is specific to the eclipse prayer. Because a lot of people used to worship the sun as well in past times. So it was important for people to realize that when these things are happening to the sun, this is not some inherent power of a sun that you should be worshipping it because it's taking itself away from you, but it's a sign of Allah. So you return to Allah rather than associating power with this creation. Yeah. وَصَلَاتُ الْإِسْتِسْقَى. بَابٌ فِي صَلَاتِ الْإِسْتِسْقَى. Chapter on the rain prayer. Salatul istisqa sunnah tuqam. It is a sunnah prayer that should be established when there is need for it to come. So the istisqa, which literally means asking for saqi, for being watered, asking for water, asking for Allah to send down rain, that prayer is established only in certain conditions. Just like the eclipse prayer, only in certain conditions. This one is when there's drought and need. So not simply when the rain stops. You think, oh, it'd be nice to have some rain. Let's do a rain prayer. No, there has to be need of that rain. And people may be starving, or their crops dying, or their animals dying, or anything like that. يَخْرُجُ لَهَا الْإِمَامِ. The imam goes out to the musalla outside of the city. كَمَا يَخْرُجُ لِلْإِيدَيْنِ. In the same way that he goes out when he goes to the Eid prayers. دَحْوَةً. He goes out after the sun has risen. Because before then, there's still the time of a fard prayer. So he leaves after the sun has risen. فَيُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. He prays, he leaves the people in prayer, just like the Eid. He does the prayer first, two rak'ats. يَجْهَرُ فِيهِمَا بِالْقِرَاءَ. Doing the qira'ah, the recitation out loud in them. يَقْرَأُ بِسَبِّحِ اسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَلَى وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. Just like he said for the Eid, he does surahs like سَبِّحِ اسْمَ and وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا and other such lengths of surahs. وَفِي كُلِّ رَكْعَى سَجْدَتَانِ وَرَكْعَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. And every rak'ah has two sajdas and a single ruku'. Every rak'ah has two sajdas and a single ruku', so it's a normal one. He's just talked about the khusuf. He's saying, no, we're not doing that one again. This is back to a normal way of praying. وَيَتَشَاهَدُ وَيُسَلِّمُ. And then he does the tashahud and he says, assalamu alaikum. So he does, it's very much like the Eid now. You've all gone out to the musalla. The imam has gone forward. He has led the prayer in exactly the same way as the Eid, but without the extra takbirs, just the ordinary one takbir. Then he says, assalamu alaikum. Then what did he do on the Eid? He went up onto the mimbar. Now, what he does, he stands up and turns around to face the people. ثُمَّ يَسْتَقْبِلُ النَّاسَ بِوَجْهِهِ. So he now turns around to face the people. Then he sits down on the floor. فَيَجْلِسُ جَلْسَ. He sits down as sitting. فَإِذَا اطْمَأَنَّ النَّاسُ. When the people are all calm and ready to listen to him, hopefully it doesn't take very long. قَامَ مُتَوَكِّئًا عَلَى قُوسِ أَوْ عَصَى. He stands up on the ground, not on a mimbar, leaning on a stick, or leaning on one of the Arab bows, which is basically a stick, which is flexible. So it wasn't like a bow with the actual string in. It was still like a stick. Or we might use a ramah. They sometimes used a spear, or sometimes a sword, something that you can lean on, not something that's just going to bend down as well the moment you're leaning on it as well. It's got to have some capacity for leaning on it. فخطب. And he gives a khutbah. And this khutbah again is similar to the other ones, two khutbahs. Again, he'll be sitting on the floor. And in this one, instead of takbir, you say astaghfirullah a lot. Lots and lots of istighfar. Lots and lots of istighfar. ثم جلس. Then he sits down. ثم قام فخطب. So he sits down again on the floor. Then he stands up and does the second khutbah. And you should also do not just istighfar, but lots of du'as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve the condition you're in. For example, Allahumma asqib ibadaka wa bahimatak wa anshur rahmatak wa ahyi baladak al-mayt. And that type of one, I'm sure many people who've done it, I've been in Morocco a few times and they've done this particular prayer. They often do that, but there's lots and lots of these types of du'as. And you fill your khutbah basically with those types of du'as and plenty of istighfar. فَإِذَا فَرَغَ. When he completes it, istaqbal al-qibla. So he turns his back to the people and faces the qibla. فَحَوَّلَ رِدَاءَهُ يَجْعَلُ مَا عَلَى مَنْكِبِهِ الْأَيْمَنْ عَلَى الْأَيْسَرِ. And he turns his cloak inside out. So this is something you're wearing on top of your clothes. This wouldn't mean that if you're wearing a shirt or you're wearing a jacket like this, that you take it off, you turn it inside out and put it back on. No. This is specifically if you're wearing a cloak. You take this cloak and you turn it inside out so that now what was on the right shoulder becomes on the left shoulder, and what was on the left shoulder becomes on the right shoulder. It's inside out. But you don't turn it upside down. A lot of people get it confused and think you actually turn it upside down. No, this is turning it inside out. This is like asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the reality of the situation you're in, to invert it from this situation of on the outward being total drought. Now, the opposite of that, the inversion of that is rain and plenty. So it's a symbolic thing, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it when he gave this particular khutbah. وَمَا عَلَى الْأَيْسَرِ عَلَى الْأَيْمَنِ. And so what's on the left, on the right, and what's on the right, on the left. وَلَا يُقَلِّبُ ذَلِكَ. And he doesn't turn it upside down. وَلِيَفْعَلُ النَّاسَ مِثْلَهُ. And the people should do the same. With the difference being they don't stand up to do it. They remain seated. And if they have the right type of clothing to do it, and saying you're not taking things off with arms in them and turning them inside out. This is simply something that people used to wear for the prayer, like a rida. Or like when you go on Hajj, you have two garments, one on the top and one on the bottom. You would reverse that, basically. So the people do it from sitting. The imam does it from standing, not facing them. His back is to them. He's facing the qibla. وَهُوَ قَائِمْ وَهُمْ قُعُودٌ. He's standing and they are sitting. ثُمَّ يَدْعُو كَذَلِكَ. Then he makes dua, raising his hands like this, according to some, or like this, according to others. Or sometimes some people turn the hands down when they make particular du'as and have the hands up for certain du'as. But the important thing is the qibla for du'a is the sky. So you're making your du'as towards its qibla. And you do the same types of du'as that you were doing in the khutbah, but you do extra du'a after for emphasis. The same types of du'as. ثُمَّ يَنْصَرِفُ وَيَنْصَرِفُ. And then when you've done this, you leave and everybody leaves with you. Obviously, then sometimes the rain does come immediately if the right people are making this prayer. I mean, sometimes you need the right person to be leading this prayer and making this dua. And then his duas are answered. Sometimes the rain comes too much. Yeah, so the rain comes so that it's actually destructive as well. And so then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, حَوَالِينَ وَلَا عَلَيْنَا. May Allah make it around us and not on top of us. So it's bringing the benefit. وَلَا يُكَبِّرُ فِيهَا. You don't do any takbirs in this khutbah or in the prayer. وَلَا فِي الْخُسُوفِ. Nor in the eclipse prayer. غَيْرَ تَكْبِيرَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ وَالْخَفْطِ وَالرَّفْعِ. Except for the takbirat al-ihram and the takbirs that you do between the positions, when you go up and when you go down. وَلَا أَذَان فِيهَا وَلَا إِقَامَةً. And there is no adhan in it and no iqama. Are there any questions about any of this? Because basically we'll stop there, because the next section now is dealing with what you do with somebody when they are on the point of death. We always do our Eid prayer in the park over here every year. I would love to be able to do it with all other masjids, but the problem is everybody is following different places in terms of where they start and where they finish the month, which makes it very, very, very difficult. I mean, the only way that's going to happen is if the cities start accepting a leader over everybody. That's the only way a city can come together. For example, you go to a Muslim country, they'll all do it together because they have a king or they have a president who orders it. If you don't have that, I mean, is he going to order it? You can ask him. he needs to publicly affirm his shahada first. But if you want to do that, you need to have a leader, at least in every community. And we have to do that, actually. That is a far kifaya. If you look in the books of Aqidah, they talk about leadership in the books of Aqidah, not just in the books of fiqh. And it starts with small communities, and obviously then you have the Khilafat. But I mean, every community, even if you have three people going on a journey, you have to have a leader. If you don't have a leader, nothing happens. It's like a body without a head. If you ever see with a chicken, if you sacrifice a chicken and the head's gone, it doesn't know, it just goes in every very, very every direction wildly. It's only when it has a head that it can go straight. Well, you'll find, yes, there have been some cities where they've done very, very large Eid prayers. And we would like to do that larger and larger and larger. I think there must be close to what, 5 to 10,000 Muslims at least in Norwich now. So I mean, that would be something, huh? Fill one of the big parks. Yeah.
So you're doing this Eid prayer. How do you make that? That's
You
it.
do you if you miss the Eid prayer, so long as you're still within the time, as I said, you can pray the Eid prayer on your own as well. So you pray it in the same way, 7 and 5. Yeah, but they obviously wouldn't do the prayer. Yeah, because it's not in a mosque. It's not in a mosque, so there is no requirement for, or no prevention, because they are prevented obviously from going into the mosque, but not to the musalla. Again, when you go to the musalla, you don't do, it's not a mosque, so you don't do 2 rak'ats of greeting the musalla or anything like that. In fact, it was makruh to do that. And just like, especially with the imam, especially shouldn't do that, because people will then take it as a sunnah. Imam Malik was very, very particular. He used to dislike a lot of things that are recommended now, because he was afraid that people would start assuming they were part of the deen, and then they would make these things requirements on people to do them. Like the 6 days of Shawwal, for example. He disliked it because people in his time, and this has continued until now, you find in Morocco, people the day after the Eid start doing those 6 days, and even the shops all close down because people are almost considering that as part of the it's part of the thing that you have to do. I mean, your ordinary Muslim might even assume that this is something much, much more emphasized than it is. And it makes much pressure on people. So he wanted to avoid that, so that the deen didn't become this heavy burden. I mean, there's that famous thing on the Laylatul Isra and Mi'raj, when the Messenger of Allah went backwards and forwards between Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, with the 50 rak'ats, 45 rak'ats, 40 rak'ats, and so on and so on and so on. But again, that was for a reason, because when the deen has so much that you have to do, it can become a burden for some people, especially if you're not with the jama'ah. It's something you're just trying to make yourself do all on your own. Again, that's like when you try and do extra good actions, start with something small, see if you can keep on doing it, and then add to it, rather than the first night staying up from Isha until Fajr and praying the entire night, and then 3 nights later you're sleeping and missing Fajr. Anyway, any questions at all what we've gone through? I'll finish there, inshallah. بسر وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم